What are we doing?
Similar, but different.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have an idea?
No.
More or less.
You can retell stories.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Remember everything you just said and say it again.
Yeah. Right.
Here it comes. Yeah, keep on drinking. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. That I realized I hadn't edited this.
Stealing it back.
From the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, podcasters and the women who love us.
That's right. Podcasters are male. You're here first.
You know,
I'm kidding.
There was just no.
There's no call for that. I'm sorry.
Right. No, there's no call for what I did.
Let's see what I did.
Actually, incorrect.
And today, I don't know why women love us.
Perfect. Speaking
this
of
is the
women,
best open ever. It even beats last week's.
Oh my goodness. We're in the room with our respective partners. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hi, Adele.
Hello. Hey, beautiful people.
Aw. She's not talking about us.
She's talking about
us. How do women love you?
I mean, certainly not after that intro. She's not talking about any of you.
I just want to know you guys love each other. Even when you're women. Like, you do.
Women who don't podcast.
Hey, and speaking of someone who's not a woman, that's Tim Mooney over here in the corner, the podcaster's corner.
Still not a woman, although I have a good story about that.
Really?
Wow. Ooh, let's hear that.
I was, you know, in traditional square dancing, there is the male and the female side. I was at, this is a callback to last episode. Last year I was at that same vegan conference, and John Stewart's wife Tracy was there. She is a big animal activist, and she was in the square dancing circle at this hoedown thing. I know this is long, but trust me, this is coming to a point.
I'm into it.
She decides to leave in the middle of the square dance, which throws off the spacing of everything.
She's this is boring.
So John Stewart's wife Tracy made me into a woman.
Interesting.
Did you have to wear like a poke bonnet and a calico apron?
No, but I do-si-do'd with a guy who's like the head of the organization, and I was really uncomfortable for a moment. But then I was just sort of like, I just went with the flow. I was like, hell yeah, I'm do-si-do'ing with Gene Bauer.
Could he tell that you were not a vegan?
He could smell it, okay. I'm sure.
But are you active with animals? Animal activist, active with animals, same thing.
I take one for a walk every day.
I feel like I need to declare the fifth or something, because that sounds like I there's no win with the answer there.
I agree.
Yeah. And the first trick of podcasting is don't answer every question. Yeah. Redirect.
Yeah, it's point, say, look, a tiger, and then you run away.
Speaking of tigers... No, not at all.
This weekend, I was in Seattle.
That's right. And there's a zoo up there. And you know what they have in the zoo?
Elephants.
Bats.
Bats.
I believe that the Seattle Mariners once played the Detroit Tigers once.
That makes sense. Yes.
Segway.
Definitely.
That's because we are professional podcasters.
Definitely.
And guess who has a great song about bats?
Prince?
Bat Dance, motherfucker.
I haven't heard that one. I really am not that familiar with Prince's catalog, sadly.
Party Man?
Party Man.
Okay.
I just saw that at the record store today, so I was just sort of like, ooh, I know that. I know the answer.
Did you buy it?
I think I own it on CD somewhere deep in the recesses of some storage box someplace.
There you go. But you can't drag a needle through the grooves after the apocalypse.
I could have bought it on vinyl because I was at Jackpot Records where I saw it. So I could have, but I chose against it.
I'm just saying, apocalypse-proof music formats.
Fair point.
All of these things culminate to my story, in which we went to Seattle this weekend. We saw local Seattle band Explone, which I've been a huge fan of for years. We saw them do a release party for their newest record, which came out on vinyl, which it doesn't feature the song about bats, but they did play the song about bats with like a 5-piece string orchestra.
Oh, really?
About 5-piece. That's a good estimate.
The eighth note player is directed by Stephen
Cavett.
The cellist
was upset at the monitor.
6-piece would have been
better. So
maybe
4-piece. It
the
was
cellist
cool.
was upset at the
she
monitor?
She was like, no. She was like, no one can hear me. And
no,
I was
she was like,
yeah,
I can't hear myself.
Tough, tough life, cellist, huh? You should have been a rock and roll like guitar player. Then people would hear you.
No, it was a 5-piece in the mains cellos, and a 4-piece in the monitors.
I love cellos.
But amazing show.
My best friend in high school was a cellist.
I have a fever, and there's only one cure. More cello.
That's right.
I just want some jello now. We've been talking about cello so much. I just want some, like, jello.
If only there was some jello. Sort of, like, religious organization themed around, like, if there was a cello cult.
Oh. Well, that's...
Yeah. Or maybe a jello cult.
There's a jello cult where you play cello. Okay, we can keep talking about
Or maybe if it was a yellow cello velo Jello cult.
It's mellow, too.
Where you can enjoy all these things and bicycles.
I wonder if you can
It took me
play
forever to figure out,
like,
where is he going with this?
No love lost, I hope, for a local bike shop Bello cult, because
like
I chose to pun their name.
One of those improv groups that just falls apart because everybody just says, yes, and?
So, we rented a car to go up to Seattle, and it was awesome to see the band.
Enterprise car. We didn't drive car to go.
No. You're absolutely right.
I like how you use
yes,
the brand name to describe just like a vehicle.
We rented a car to go
you
up to Seattle,
to
but
go
it wasn't
now
car to go.
Actually meeting those little blue and white smart cars.
Right,
town.
Right, right. So
we rented a car.
Yes. It was a great show. I was glad to be there. It was fun to see my favorite band perform again after nearly, 3 years or something. It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. And I hadn't seen them in 5 years. It was fun.
Yeah. So we stayed at a place in downtown Seattle that a friend of ours hooked us up with. It was like in their wellness room, their yoga room or something. So don't tell anybody at the organization. But I realized one of the bad things about driving a car in a big city is that if you want to go anywhere in like the nightlife district and park, it's impossible. We circled for like 45 minutes and tried to figure out like what are the parking regulations, and it says 2 hours only. Is that include at night or not? I'm not sure. So
and it was like past midnight and we're like, we're so bad at staying up late. We just need a parking space.
Also, we had to be out of the building at 1 o'clock. We could go into it before then and we could go into it after that.
That's when all the ideas were having sex.
Yes, that's where all that...
Sorry, that's the slogan of this place?
Yes.
Can we not say the name of the place?
I wouldn't.
It's like, so-and-so, where ideas have sex.
I'm not sure if we're allowed to sleep on their floor.
I have a funny feeling that this might be Googleable now.
So we had to leave at
1
a.m.
That is the weirdest slogan.
This is a yoga studio wellness?
It was on a sticker. I have a sticker. I need to put it on something. It was so funny. So we had to leave the building. Okay, because there's going to be an alarm going off.
Let me make it easily Googleable. It's a co-working space.
But not like a co-mingling space. Like
correct.
Because from that
apparently for
slogan,
ideas it is.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like it, yeah.
So we were driving around in the car. Adele was just sitting riding and probably getting bored and a little impatient. And I was driving around, trying to find an open space where we could park. And then like trying to stare at the fine print on the Seattle parking website on my phone. And like I was tired enough that like all the letters were bouncing around and I couldn't quite focus on the fine print. And anyways, we figured out in the end you can park there overnight. And it's free parking on Sundays. But the parking truck still comes by and puts chalk on your tires. So anyways.
What? It's just messed up. I think you could write a letter to the city if you ever get a ticket and say, this was unclear. That's what I used to do in Boston when I got parking tickets.
Oh, they're really
I'd
open
just
to
write
that
them
in Boston,
letters and I'd be like, you have no right to give. They were like, okay, guess we'll waive that ticket. They just appreciate the thought that you'd write them a personal letter.
Dear young lady, thank you for your input. That was a useless letter. Thank you.
Exactly.
Take that into advisement. Give me your money. So it's...
Where's my water glass?
Renting a car is great. I still prefer renting a car to owning one. And it was nice to have the option. But I think for parking and all that stuff, if we had been on bikes, it would have been slightly more complex. We couldn't have done as many things as we did and been in as many places as we were. Mm-hmm. But... we wouldn't have had to search for parking. So
true. And then we visited your family the next day, and they were excited at first because they thought we'd bought a car. And they were like, did you buy this car?
Oh, my God.
And we had to say, no, we didn't buy the car. They're like, oh, cool. But I was
let them down easy.
That's all right.
I sensed the glimmer of like, oh, you bought a car? Oh, okay.
Because,
cool, guys.
Because you think that they would
great to see you.
They would see you more?
You know, honestly, that's probably
it's probably
part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should invite them down more.
Oh, Yeah, yeah. By all means.
And I'll just say once more, the thing I love about renting a car is that because I don't own one, I can drive whatever I want.
You can set it on fire when you own.
That too. It's insured, right?
I leave garbage all
they
inside.
They only do that in Boston.
And I'm talking half-filled cups of soda, energy drinks.
Seriously.
Fast food wrappers. The works.
Fast food wrappers. It's fun sometimes to throw them at a floor.
Louis C.K. did this bit one time where he was late for a flight and he had this rental car and he like left it in general parking and he called the people like, you know, on his way to this flight, like rushing to the gate. And he's hey, I had to park this in general parking. They're like, you can't do that. And he's like,
I did.
I'm sorry. That's what I did.
You want your car back. That's where it is.
And they're like, well, I guess we have to go get it. He's like, how far can I take this? Yeah, I just I left your car idling down Brooklyn Avenue. You want to go pick it up? There it is. It's going east.
It still has value. You probably want it.
It's rolling slowly towards the bay.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm famous. What can you do to me?
So did you do anything fun this weekend?
I set a car on fire.
Nice.
Aaron.
This is all for satirical purposes.
That's true. Like,
okay, yeah. What did Aaron do this
Someone's going to be looking at the like news. Oh, there was a car on fire this weekend. It was him.
And none of this is real.
PPD is going to be like, oh, it was that guy.
It was that guy. He admitted to it. I did not set a car on fire. I'm not that cool.
Then why did you say you did? Sorry, right. Cross-examination. Right. That's a habit.
You know I'm calling you if anything ever comes of this.
I am barred in Oregon, but I'm inactive. So if you did, I'd have to like send the Oregon State Bar a check. And also, I've never practiced criminal law. So, and oh, I did sort of. I was on the prosecution
Still
side.
Still better than my current lawyer.
I would not be a good idea. I'm just saying.
But you talk pretty.
Yeah. Oh, I watched the last episode of The Night Of. I feel like I'm a real defense attorney now.
I hear you pass the bar when you finish the show, right?
Something like that. Okay. Yeah.
So speaking of setting cars on fire,
yes,
I was up in Seattle as well.
Where sometimes that happens.
where I. Yeah,
say there's a protest.
It's all the gloomy weather. People are just like, oh, we need some light.
Yeah, let's just set our car
on fire. But what were you doing, really?
I was speaking of setting cars on fire, I was at a wedding.
What?
Cars aflame with passion.
This may be the best show ever.
That's how I'm going to segue everything cars. From now on. Yeah. Speaking of cars on fire, that's how I'm going to segue things from here on out. But anyways... So, yeah, I was up in Seattle as well, independently of you.
Right.
You didn't tell us? We could have carpooled.
Well, we couldn't have because I had to make it back the very next day. That same night. But, yeah, I was at Michael's wedding, Michael, who I used to live with.
Listener to the show, yes?
Probably. Hey, how's it going?
Congratulations, Michael.
What's up, Mike?
How are the cars?
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I called you Mike. I don't know you. You may be a Michael.
I've always known him as Michael.
By the way.
But, you know, you could probably call him Mike.
I would not sit in a car that Aaron's near. Just
so you went to this wedding.
So I went to this, and it was a pretty cool wedding. I found out, like, a couple days before that I was supposed to read. And I got to the wedding, and I was like, oh, shit. I don't have a copy of this thing.
Well, oh, you were responsible for bringing it?
Was it a couple days or was it like the morning of?
Right. I think they should provide you with whatever Mary Oliver poem they want read at their wedding.
Well,
did you just drop Mary Oliver? That was some shade thrown towards Mary Oliver right there.
I love Mary Oliver. I need to go to more weddings with Mary. It's my dream wedding.
I have no idea who Mary Oliver is.
She's just real passe these days.
Yeah.
I only mentioned that you found out the morning of because you pulled it off as a testament to like you pulled it off well.
Well, yeah, I actually did have it in my email still saved, like, you know, and so I could pull it up on my iPad or iPod. But the people that I used to live with were kind enough. Yeah, that's what I'll say. Kind enough to have already printed out a copy. For me.
They knew you well.
Yeah. Well, I used to live with them.
There we go. Perfect. Redundancies are great.
No, it was cool. There wasn't like the traditional like
Schmaltz.
first dance and it's all like this romantic song or like the father-daughter dance, and there's like this sort of sentimental, you know, I'm letting her go.
Father-daughter dance is always kind of creepy, too.
Don't get the country music song of the year for the father-daughter dance.
Butterfly kisses.
But she's mine. I'm only lending her to you.
Do you have to talk about the county line and the country road and the truck?
Yeah. Because you're an Oklahoma girl.
Butterfly kisses in my Ford Jamboree on the Lenawee County line on Silberhorn Highway.
There are only 50 words in country music. I have learned them all. In my wonderful girlfriend is also from Oklahoma, and I have been exposed to the Martian music scene that is country music. And yes, I've learned a lot. Beer, Mama's a big one.
Oh yeah, Mama, or Daddy,
Ford, Chevy, but not both.
No.
Yes.
My poor Chevy.
Nope.
Did I say
no? Those are the names of my children.
Not my family. Your Chevy family and your Ford family. It's like the Capulets and the Montagues. It's like the craziest thing. Yeah.
So they did like have sort of placeholders where there was the father-daughter dance, but like this string band was playing and it wasn't this slow dance. It was like a faster kind of paced, and there was like actual dance moves as opposed to just sort of swaying.
Oh, was this rehearsed? Like this? Was this a rehearsed?
It didn't look rehearsed. Like there was.
Was it fun?
Maybe it was.
Because there's almost nothing worse than like watching a wedding dance that looks like that they've put like time and coordination into it, because it's a little awkward. Am I right?
I mean, it'd be cool like if it was choreographed, like if you had some like actual like moves as opposed to like, okay, one, two, cha cha cha.
Yeah.
So they take in ballroom dancing classes.
Twist. No, I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
But they sort of knew. At least
they did really well.
Right.
And
I don't know.
And then we all set cars on fire.
And then there was square dancing.
There
was square dancing.
Did anybody become transformed into a gender that was not their original? Which is fine.
There was a lot of like gender trading altogether.
Fluid. Yeah. Fluid. Gender fluidity. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And some people carried their kids like while they were square dancing with their partners. I thought that was pretty fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Everybody gets that hat.
Yeah. Everybody got
Ford
it.
On
yeah.
the other.
Well, speaking of setting cars on fire, just real
that's
quickly,
what they call in the biz a segue.
Just real quickly, Tim, you just wrapped up your Oregon Coast adventure, and you're going to be talking about this on your show.
Yes, that'll be on the Pedal Shift Project coming out this week as this show drops.
How would someone find the Pedal Shift Project? Wherever could it be?
On the internet.
On the internet, wherever podcasts are available, or you could go to the website, which is pedalshift.net.
Sweet. Yeah. Any highlights from that trip that you'd like to share now?
I enjoyed a lot of beer, and I did low mileage, which is unusual for me. Because normally it's sort of like, you know, I averaged somewhere in the 60, 70-mile day kind of range a day. But in order for the transportation to work out to get back to Portland to enjoy the weekend and all that, I was like, oh, well, I guess my last day I only had 10 miles left to go. So I was I guess I'll go to the lighthouse and then I'll end up at Brewers on the Bay in Newport and drink some beers or two or three or four. And it was one of those great trips that was far less about getting from point A to point B to point C and more about sort of enjoying life along the way or
nice.
Whatever a nice podcast in this fair town would say.
Yeah.
I feel like I stole the line out
you
of
made, that. You made sacrifices for the schedule is what you're saying.
I did. But it was really fun in the sense because normally it makes me realize that I'm sort of a slave to mileage and my planning. And
got
to
go.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like you're sort of like, okay, well, if I do this all in one shot, then I'm at the next campground and then I can, I don't know, just sit there and do nothing, you know? And I liked stopping more frequently. I liked being in places that I knew, but stopping in areas that I haven't had a chance to go to, like Yukina Lighthead Lighthouse, which is a mile and change off of the beaten path.
Mm. Outstanding natural area, I hear.
It says so on the signs, even.
It does.
Well, the best part was I'm rolling up to the guard booth there, and of course, you know, all the cars have to shell out $7 or whatever. And I, not only am I on a non-motorized vehicle, which is free, but I also have one of those, you know, cards that gets you into like national parks and stuff. You know, you pay some outrageous fee at the, you know. And so I'm like holding the card. She goes, "Oh, you can go right through." And she sees my card, and you can go right through. So I was like, twice.
You just
loops.
Did like a UE and come back just for good
loops around the ranger station.
It worked.
One
out.
For my bike and one for my card.
It worked out well. But of course, you know, as with all things, when you're in a place that is primarily motor vehicle centric. And people just look at you like you are the craziest person in the world. And
how the hell?
Yeah,
it's like, not a, you know, Ford or a Chevy.
Yeah, that is neither Ford nor Chevy. It was Novara, REI.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just always funny that, you know, even in Oregon, you know, with this bikey kind of reputation, and it's on the coast, which is one of the great bicycle touring routes of this country, and people will still look at you like you are just batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. Like you just finished lighting a car on fire.
Yes. It comes full circle.
Everybody got distracted. You know, we got distracted by a beer from what I would suspect would be a fine place in this fine burg of Portland.
Yes, this burg is full of good places to drink. But one thing that is cool is there is this shop called the Beer Mongers down on Southeast Division and 12th. You can whisper about it to your friends all you like because we don't care. That is the best place.
Sweet nothing whispers about beer.
That's right.
I just finished my first beer of the evening from Beer Mongers. I'm about to start my second. I'm going to share it with Anna.
Hey,
she is cool with that.
That's right, and that's a doubly sized.
This sounds IPA. Like one of the best ads we've ever done.
Yeah, 24 ounce can.
Throwback IPA. Pack it in, pack it out. And
Tim, did you have that one last time?
Had one that was. I already forget. You can listen to a back episode of the Sprocket Podcast.
That's
and
right.
Find out what did I drink?
So now that I actually have like sunk my teeth into a real hop, like flower, bud,
that's right.
Whatever
so,
you call it.
Like you chewed on the actual.
I actually chewed on it and then I had to spit it out because it was like way disgusting for me. But we have this magnificent hop vine growing in our backyard right now. And we're not going to do anything with the hops. So if you want to come over and harvest our hops, you can. They will die soon. I tried eating them raw. They are not good. But now that I've eaten one raw, basically, like whenever I drink an IPA, it's all like, now I'm like, okay, I
You're
know
like
where
Budweiser.
That flavor is. Yeah, well, now I know exactly what hops are all about.
Yeah, if you don't like raw hops, go to the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12th.
Where they do they something have, with their hops.
Yes, yes. They have purposely
their
directed
hops.
Their
hops are harnessed properly.
Are they
raw
are.
Hops medicinal? Is that like a...
I choose to think so.
My skin is glowing. Get the hop glow. I should look it up. I mean, that's actually a cool point. Apparently, they taste similar to basil flowers, and they're very bitter. So, yes, anything that tastes weird or bad, I feel like should be good for me. So,
right.
Yeah, that's I'm sure they are point. Medicinal yep. in some way.
Yep.
But
they're
no,
definitely,
I should look that up.
Definitely good for us.
I looked up cooking with hops and found some sort of interesting things. But
yeah. A lot of beer recipes.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what's coming up? Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day weekend is now the 7th anniversary of the Beer Mongers' existence.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday, Beer Mongers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're going to have cool stuff going all week. Matter of fact, I have a picture, which I will post to our website, of Andrew, one of the bartenders there. And he's holding up a list of, well, hang on a minute. I need to pull up a thing.
It will definitely be in the show notes.
Yes. There's stuff happening all weekend. So I want to say Friday, they are having Firestone Walker is showing up and taking over some of the taps. Saturday, September 3rd, Ancestry Brewing and PDX Sliders Beer Garden. There's going to be a beer garden. You can go to the Beer Mongers and drink beer outside.
Oh,
which,
hey, which
that's
you
not
can't
always,
normally do.
Not always permitted. This day. Time it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So they put up a tent. And
totally.
You could drink outside.
And it's a big tent. Everybody's welcome. So the 5th of September, the 7th anniversary, they were launched on Labor Day 7 years ago. And it's a 2009 bottle share and potluck. So if you have beer from 2009 that you've just been saving for that special occasion,
do
bring it in.
Do
swap
that?
Them.
Do people save beer?
They do.
Yeah. Some beers some age.
I don't.
Do we have to find food from 2009
yes.
and bring it?
Yes.
I think I got some.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. Look in those paneers, babe.
Find out if that stuff is freezer burned or not.
Some cookies he baked in 2009 are still there. Some like coconut macaroon.
I got a Happy Meal that I found in the back of my non-burned car.
So, the Beer Mongers. Definitely the coolest place to get beer in Portland. Hands down. So, hey, it's the Wives and Partners show. And girlfriends and such. Yeah.
And if you want to hear up from mine, go to the Pedal Chef Project, and she's appearing on that one.
Yes, perfect. Yes.
I was going to say you've got one of each here. Well, yeah. I guess wife partner is kind of blurry.
I'm a girlfriend.
Got one wife, one partner.
I'm over partner.
I never know. It's funny when
that
people...
That is a very oaky thing, I think. But just I got here and I was like, I'm not in a science lab. I'm girlfriend.
Oh, partner.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very... Yeah. That was my... Yeah. Sometimes the stubborn oaky comes out. Sometimes. The
sometimes. Stubborn... Sometimes.
You don't, in my experience, the stubborn oaky is always out.
And your girlfriend, Kimberly, is also from Oklahoma.
She is from the beautiful city of Lawton, Oklahoma, in the southwest corner of the state.
Wow, you're going against the tide of Portland. Sometimes
Portland.
I feel bad for saying husband. Well, it's just like, okay, partner.
It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, you put a you put
Can
a
I just say we got three interestings
on
to one to two interestings? I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I know that last episode I heard Adele say interesting, and I was like, yeah. And I just heard you say interesting because that's the way you say it. And these two guys say interesting.
Freaks.
So team interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I am the way I am. Boom. Rock and I have to differentiate somehow.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, I just wanted to do a victory lap.
I like that you're keeping score.
That's three-fifths of the vote. That's enough to, like, get a motion passed,
that's
right?
That's a board quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In nonprofit speak.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But we digress.
Well, so.
So, yeah, it's a wives and partner episode. Or wives and girlfriends.
Wives and girlfriends. And
wives, girlfriends, partners.
And it's team interesting episode.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
So I just wanted to ask... You two have been hanging out with us two for some time. What's your perspective? How weird is all this? All this bicycling stuff and all this podcasting?
I think it's the podcasting stuff I would love to know more about. Like, how do you feel about being with, like, two legitimate superstars of podcasting?
Well, now hold on a second.
Yes.
Well, let's keep them humble.
Don't go burning any cars.
Let's not get their egos up too big.
They were in the new and notable section of iTunes, which means
Did you get a
something.
Screenshot of that? I'm going to put it
on
screen.
Yeah, it was on your Facebook.
Really?
Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah,
I sent
it.
Shut up. That's so cool. Wait, guys, let's hold those celebrate. Let's leave. What are we doing here? Let's get out of this garage.
Podcast is new and notable.
But I mean, you don't always come on the show. You're just here today.
No.
So what do you think about us two who do this show every week? Is it weird? Is it strange? Is it exciting?
I mean, I've been around it for a while. Well, you'll have an interesting perspective.
Both of you have kind of been around it.
Indiana's been around it for a while too.
Yeah.
So I mean, I remember, Brock, when you said you wanted to start a podcast with Brandon, and I was just like, cool, you've got sort of a creative outlet because you're so musical, you're so creative that way, and then you'd stopped the band before we got married, and so but I've always thought of you as a creative person, so I was really stoked to see you have a creative outlet. And then it actually was cool for me because you started inviting all these interesting.
Oh.
Sorry.
Splitting the difference.
I don't really talk that way.
You sounded awkward doing it. I still think you're on my team.
Right. I totally. So, all these interesting people over to the house. And I was like, cool, I'll bake them like cookies. And because I don't know, I like to take care of people when they come to my house.
Right.
And it was really, really fun because I was meeting new people who were very passionate about their causes. And I'm passionate about bicycling too. And so I was like, go for it. And when you started it too, it was Simpler Living. It was sort of a larger umbrella. So it was, you were talking about all sorts of things, and you had me on early on. So we won't talk about that episode. So we'll keep moving.
Episode 9.
I don't even know what you're talking
Super
about.
Super fan here in the corner.
So yeah. So I was glad, and I didn't know. I mean, I guess I was hoping it would be successful, as any, you know, good partner would. And I thought it was really cool. Like, Brock, it made you happy. It made you feel like you were really sinking your teeth into this project. And then, yeah, so I don't mind not being on. Usually I don't want to be on the show. This is great. I've counted. This is the fourth time I've been on in 6 weeks, which
one
is
more
fantastic.
And you get a club card.
Yes. I'm really holding out.
It's true.
But it's cool because usually I'm working. I'm drained at the end of the day. I'm too tired. And like the last thing I would ever want to do is talk on a podcast. Right now I'm not working. So it's great. So I guess what I'm saying is like when you podcast every Monday, I'm happy. I'm like, cool. I know he's doing his thing. And I'll go home and like just chill and know that you're talking to someone cool.
Keeps me off the streets and out of the pool halls.
Well, okay. Another thing I appreciate about it, and maybe I should come up with some negatives, but sometimes you
he
get
burns
home.
A lot of cars.
Sometimes you get home too late, and that makes me angry on Mondays. And I'm like, you told me you'd be home at 9:30.
And so then, you've just written off Monday nights as a time when you're going to see me, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. But we've also stayed with really cool people who've hosted us because they've met us through the podcast. Which
What's
has
up, Andy?
Been amazing.
What's up, Logan?
Yeah, those people, so cool. And
who else? Am I missing somebody?
We've met other people, but
other
I don't know
we've met,
if
yeah.
we've crashed at their places in the same way.
Also, we're excited to stay at your house if you ever want to have us.
Do you live in Hawaii or Alaska? Or like Europe? Or
Rocket D&B.
South America? I'd love to visit you via bicycle.
Yeah.
So that's been a big perk of you having this show. So,
well, Anna, I'm curious because you two met some time back. And, you know, you're not always on the show. You were once or twice, and here you are again.
What did we say? This was like your third or is it fourth time on the show?
Third. One, my mom was on, and I don't think I talked.
That's right. You were support staff in the background.
Yeah, I was support.
You made it in the picture.
That counts.
I made it in the picture.
As a charter member of the Five Timers Club, that counts.
Yeah.
Maybe my third time. That sounds right.
What's your perspective on Aaron doing this every week?
I think it's great. I mean, he's obviously super creative. That face. You are super creative.
I don't know. I just mostly just...
He has to listen to people talking about him now, and it's
he's got like mouth diarrhea.
It's just, okay, man. Just hang in there. It'd be good.
Words fall out.
That needs to go on the next promo. The Sprocket Podcast. It's just mouth
it's
diarrhea.
Just mouth it's diarrhea.
I talked about this before, but I had listened Aaron from Oklahoma. And so didn't like exactly count the Sprocket as like a real human entity.
Right.
And so it was really like, it was very cool to, I guess, see that they're real people.
Sure.
I don't know.
Not only real people, but people you could date.
Just one person.
Just one.
Availability is limited.
Good to make. Not available in all areas.
Well,
some restrictions apply.
That's like my favorite story.
You sent it so okey there, by the way. I finally heard it for the first time. I heard it.
It's still here.
And it's there.
Portland, you're not taking it. Well, when we were talking about me going on the show on the very first episode, you emailed me from your personal email.
Yeah,
and then
that's right.
That was like internet butterflies in my stomach because I was like, what's this?
You know, a listener, Aqua, wrote in sometime recently and said, you know, if you go back and listen to the episode where Aaron meets Anna, it's cute. So
I
haven't done that actually.
So
I should go back and
I remember listening to that and being like, whoa, they are flirting.
Oh, we should totally lay in some little
my oldest brother called me like the day after he listened to that. So like, you know, we hadn't really like been seeing much of each other at that point, but he called me shortly after and he's like, come on, Aaron. It's like, you're so transparent.
Don't kid yourself.
That's what older brothers are perfect for, just calling it like it is, right? Just like,
no. The show is great. I mean, I can't believe that you guys do a show every week and sometimes twice a week
and
find new
three.
People.
And sometimes three.
Like, that's really... Yeah, you guys are really good at finding.
Surprisingly, there are still people in this town that we haven't spoken to yet. So yeah.
Well, and we like to talk to people sometimes up to or more than five times.
Yes, it could be as many as five times.
But then once you get to about eight or nine, then you sort of tell people, all right, next time you're in town, maybe we just get beers.
That's it.
We won't be recording this, even at the brewery.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, the recording didn't work, Tim. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Bummer. It all got lost.
Yeah, so, lost episode.
Tim,
I don't know. Was there ever a point where, like, I don't know, like Monday nights, having to get used to it. We didn't really have a rhythm where, like, you know, either of us were seeing much of each other on Mondays anyways, but
when you were on Division, I would come by the studio sometimes.
That's true, because it's kind of on your way.
Yeah, home. Yeah. Well, I mean, many times I'll be listening to the Sprocket, and Aaron will call to, like, say goodnight, and I'm like, guess what? You're interrupting yourself. That probably gets tired after like two times, but
yeah. Do you listen to every episode?
I will admit I was like trying to like savor the Ellie Blue episode.
That's
so
that's
the last one that I dropped off at. Yeah.
But you've kept
but
up.
Otherwise, yeah. I mean,
there was a time I think like when we were like after we had been dating for a little while, but still kind of knew where you were like, we're seeing too much of each other and I'm not getting enough podcast time.
Really?
No. Oh, I think that was just general. I was it like, was I have general. So many podcasts to listen to. That was a general, like, how am
Isn't
I going to catch
ironic?
Up with these podcasts? Like,
just need to release them into the ocean.
Yes. Yeah.
See, I think it's great that you listen to his podcast. I produce my girlfriend's own podcast. Not only does she not listen to mine, she doesn't listen to hers that I produce. Like, the only time she hears, she's done 460 episodes of her show. Like,
good
we've been
her.
Doing it
for
over 10 years.
That's amazing.
And, like, she's never listened to one that she's ever done.
Do you
That's
mind,
amazing.
Can you say what is her podcast?
Yes, Tranquility du Jour.
It is, du Jour.
Yes, oh. Yes. It
means Tranquility of the Day.
Tranquility of the Day. It makes no sense, but it's good. It's about its lifestyle. It started off as a yoga thing mostly, and then it's gotten into lifestyle and all sorts of cool stuff. And she interviews like cool authors and stuff like that. So check it out.
Yeah. People just look for it, right? They do a search thing.
KimberlyWilson.com, and you'll see it. And also just search for Tranquility du Jour.
In your favorite podcast directory.
In your favorite podcast aggregator, as I awkwardly say in every show I have.
I'm curious for you, Tim. Yes, what's your perspective on her doing her show, and what's her perspective on you doing your show?
It's interesting because I sort of goaded her into it. So we talked about this actually briefly on one of the extra episodes. I think we called it Let's Shrink the World by Podcast.
Oh.
It was a bonus episode, I think, a year ago.
Yeah.
So you can check that out on Pedal Shop Project. But I was getting into it at the sort of dawn of podcasting. This was over 10 years ago. This was like 12 years ago, I think. And I was doing
faster.
Oh, it was crazy. I was doing a show about Supreme Court nominations. And fast forward to now, I'm actually doing another one on that. So if you want to check that out and hear me talk about politics really fast and, you know, whatever, with a group of like-minded people, Advice and Consent is the name of that one.
Advice and Consent.
Advice. It's scotuspodcast.com. You love it. Yeah. Anyway, so like for her, I said, hey, you would love doing this, because she always had this joy of doing some kind of a talk show. That was sort of like her secret desire. And so I said, hey, we did this thing and it got in the newspapers like in a day, and they put podcast in quotes because it was all scary and weird and different. Right. So
kids are making a podcast.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was like this serious organization is doing this thing called podcasting. And we got in the Washington Post and the Seattle Times, and the president of our organization that we kind of snuck this past. She saw that we got two major newspapers to talk about what we were doing. She's like, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. So when I got that kind of like stamp of approval, I was like, Kimberly, you should do a show, because I think you would do a great show. And here we are more than 10 years later and nearly 500 episodes in, and here she is. But
nice.
So she does her show and I produce it, and she does it every 2 weeks, and I do Pedal Shift Project every 2 weeks. And we don't sort of overlap a lot in terms of the production, but the one thing that what you were saying, Anna, was reminded me was when I do my Supreme Court show, it's a Skype call with people from the West Coast and from DC, and sort of there's four of us. And so it's this like hour long block where we just nerd out on Supreme Court stuff. I mean, just nerd out. And we try to make it a little bit funny and interesting. But the Kimberly is in the bedroom, just like away from all of this. And I'm always just thinking, oh, wow, she has to listen to this one-sided conversation of me going, yeah, but Scalia, you know, and it's just like, so that's where I feel a little bit bad for her. But and she'll be like, are you doing that Supreme Court podcast again? I'd be like, yes. Yeah. But anyways, yes, it's a little quieter now until I think after the election, but then things will really heat up. So
there you go.
Yes.
Seasons.
Yes. It's sort of. Yes. Yes. But I keep politics out of my show, or you know, the other show, and
this the Pedal Shift Show.
The Pedal Shift Show very rarely delves into politics. I think the most political thing I said was when those guys littered in the Oregon Outback. I lost my mind on that. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was the most. That was the most drumbeat political I got, I think.
Seriously, but, enter rant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had my rant song. I haven't used that in a while. I need a good rant.
Well, you're not a very angry person.
Someone should go litter on the Oregon Outback again.
Yeah, seriously. Someone go light a car and fire in the litter.
Just wanted to hear that 8-bit music. Yeah. Well, I'm curious for everyone in the room, what is something that might be unique to bicycling that people should know about if they don't right now bicycle with their partners, with their wives, girlfriends, husbands, boyfriends, et cetera, et cetera.
I've got something, especially from a gentleman's perspective towards a woman partner. Please do not mansplain things to them. That is like the worst thing. And I think that it's very important to not kind of take that role. And it seems to be such a thing. And I see it all the time. And I'm so happy that I'm aware of it, because I know whenever there's an instinct to even go even slightly in that direction, I completely rebel and pull back. So that is my message to the gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been trying – this isn't – I'm just sort of going off of what Tim said with the whole mansplaining thing. And yes,
let me help you with that.
I've been annoyed by it. Yeah. No, I've been annoyed. Yeah. Oh, my God. What does it mean?
Did you like
what
that?
What is mansplaining? I'm like, what?
It's like you're doing it wrong plus sexism. Yeah.
I'm going to go on a rant now.
Oh, we need to pull out my rant music.
No, mansplaining is dumb, but no, sometimes like I don't mind if someone tells me like some piece of useful information that I didn't know before, and then sometimes I'm just like, shut the hell up, you know? So I don't know. It's hard. Maybe it's hard for you to know, or do you know? You like know exactly when you don't need to be telling Kimberly something.
I think that it's one of those things that I'm kind of constantly aware of, because when I see it, it's so awful to see from outside. So I'm more hyper aware of it. And I think that also it's just so ingrained in males in this culture that I think that it's second nature, and it's really a drag, because it's gross and weird. So, I'm a bit of a know-it-all to begin with, which is bad, but I'm self-aware of it. So, you know, I mean, I try to not be, well, actually, anytime I'm starting a sentence with well, actually, comma, I know I should shut the hell up. Yes, yes.
It's like on comment forums where they have anything that begins with they just delete automatically.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like that.
Well, I'm trying to think. Things that people should know, like men or women.
Yeah, bicycle specific.
Bicycling with their significant other.
Yeah.
I would say, and this comes from biking with you, Brock, and I mean, but like be respectful, like figure out, like talk about your riding style, because they can be very different. Like for instance, Brock, you sometimes prefer to take very busy direct boulevards.
Let's ride this arterial.
The heart of wherever we're going and just go right there. And there have been some sessions of tension between us where I'm really unhappy doing that.
Right.
But then I don't feel comfortable saying, let's take a different way, because I'm like, well, then do I seem scared? Am I looking like a wimp? I should be totally cool with riding this road right now at this time of day. So like Brock, you and I have kind of worked it out. Like, okay, Foster, it's kind of a scary road for me during the day, but I have this rule. If it's after 11 p.m., I'll ride Foster, except for all the drunks on it. But I'll totally ride Foster after 11. So when we're riding home and, like, now we'll talk about it. Like, okay, do you want to do Foster? Not feeling it. All right, cool. Let's just chill on Woodward. So maybe talking about, like your riding styles. And I guess this is in a scenario where both people are bicycling, but I think it's good to be aware of the fact that the other person's going to just have a different riding style than you and a different pace and maybe prefer different kinds of streets. And so maybe just talk about it. And then, you know, maybe sometimes you ride the streets that person wants to, you sometimes you ride the streets you want to. Yeah. Stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
No mansplaining and communication.
Exactly. These are both good things.
Talk it
these
out.
These are good things so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Anna, any ideas?
I can talk about couples in bike shops. But
yeah. Talk about couples.
You see
that a lot.
So much. Yeah. Oh, can you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Well,
what do you see?
So, like, I would ask Aaron to go bike shopping with me just to, like, have someone to, like, bounce ideas off of as far – because, like – I don't know. We know each other pretty well. And I would just like to be like, what? I don't know. What color do you like better or something like that? But
as opposed to, oh, no, you really don't want that bike.
if you
here,
start
let me ride
with
this
like,
bike around yeah. for
right.
you.
Yeah. And, if you yeah. start with like, well, she's looking for like, and sometimes like, honestly, it's probably not for me to really speak on because being in the bike industry, like, I'm relatively at ease in a bike shop. So, I mean, I imagine a lot of women might bring partners with them as a kind of like security blanket or like, you know, so they feel less scared.
Sure.
Or just go to Gladys.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I mean, like, there's a point at which like, dudes simply have different bodies than ladies, and like what feels good to you may not necessarily feel good to her, and like what you've decided that she needs is maybe not what she actually wants. Yeah. But I will say, like, a lot of people are super, super receptive, and I love my customers.
Aww.
They're the best. But, yeah, just think about it, guys.
Ask questions.
Ask
what they think, and that's
yeah.
a really good
and
way to
also
go.
Let me say to the women, so I just had this great experience today where I conquered a fear, which is actually going into a bike shop. Well, I go into bike shops plenty of times by myself, but I was going to a bike shop to get parts, new parts for my bike. My friend's going to help me work on it. And I hate feeling stupid and I don't know how to work on a bike. So I had a list of it. Okay. I need the Shimano 8-speed cassette and I need this and this. And if it had been a weekend, I was so tempted to just say, Brock, can't you just come with me and talk to the mechanic for me and get her on this
right.
stuff.
And that is on the fault of the bike industry.
Right. And then I was like, well, it's also just, I don't know. Like, I don't like to feel stupid. So I don't want them to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to. But of course, part of it in life is you learn. It's okay not to know everything.
But they shouldn't make you feel stupid.
Right. Everyone stop looking right. down your noses, yes. get off your right. phones, and go talk to the people.
Yeah. So I would say this to women out there, like, well, okay, like, yeah, if someone makes you feel stupid at bike shop, that's not cool, but they probably won't. And I went to a bike shop today and they were fantastic. And the guy was so helpful. I didn't feel like he was talking down at me. I put it out there. I was like, yeah, I've got this list. My friend's helping me fix this. I'm happy to have some of your advice. This is what I need. And it was great. And it was like, very respectful and happy and yay. And I had this great experience and I was laughing because I was like, oh, I guess I could have gone to Gladys Bikes because that's where the women are. But I'm going to go into this store.
I don't think
store.
They would sell parts though.
That's the thing. Yeah. I needed a, yeah. this.
There's only
I needed
so many
this,
places
like,
you could go
this particular
for parts.
Place.
They would order it.
Well, they might order.
Have some faith in Leah Benson.
It's not that I don't. It's not that
This Leah was Benson on my way to work. So yeah, like women out there, I don't know, just like, just go and just do it. You know, just go and like go into a bike shop. If they're not cool, then go to a different bike shop. Ask your friends where the good bike shops are. But
if there's only one bike shop, order online.
But yeah, I don't know. I just had this great experience where I was like, I could have really tried to drag Brock in with me, but I didn't. And I felt very good about myself. So yay. And I was thinking, I was like, Anna's so cool with this. Like, she would totally know what to do. She knows everything about bicycles. She's a lady.
With our bikes, like, there's a lot of, like, looking up manual things. Like, how does this mm-hmm. Dutch thing go to this Dutch thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, really, like...
I was kind of even thinking about, like, just building our Pugsley and sort of some of the parts that we kind of bantered over around that. Like, well, will this work with this thing? Or, you know, can we, you know, especially when it came to the headset. Putting the headset in and then, I ended up mangling the Crown Race. And so having to reorder a Crown Race and not really knowing.
You were not trying to mansplain that to me, though, by any means.
No.
Anna, do you woman-splain things to Aaron about bicycles?
I've talked about getting a kickstand. That's about it.
Hold your ground.
And we're still together to this day.
Maybe just in closing, there's one question that comes up a lot, and that's... I usually dudes writing in saying, I wish my wife would ride with me. We haven't been in that position, I don't think, usually because, well, our wives and girlfriends ride with us. But do you have any insights obviously everyone's situation is different, but any ideas on that question?
Don't force it.
Ah.
And let them find a bike they like if they actually do show interest, like the clicky fast bike might not actually be what they want. And that's fine.
Something that's comfortable to sit on.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. Kimberly is a upright kind of cruiser kind of rider. And I asked lots of questions, you know. It's like I would not get her a touring bike because I'd be like, oh, no, you really want this so that we can go on tour together. No, it's like, so ask lots of questions, figure it out, and got her a bike that she's very happy with, you know. But I was the facilitator of it, but it was asking a lot.
Exactly. Yes. That's great.
And not telling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then I'd say, yeah, maybe go bike somewhere, like go out to dinner somewhere fun and bike 5 miles there and 5 miles back. Or maybe compromise, like this is so – but you could be like, hey, like – if you do something that I really want to do with me, I'll do something you really want to do with you. So then you could be like, cool, I'll go to the Rhododendron Garden with you for 4 hours on Saturday, and then we'll go for a bike ride on Sunday.
You should get two bike rides like for that.
No.
I would try to get two bike rides. Although I ended up going to lots
bargaining
of operas.
Chips.
I get lots
Ooh,
of operas.
So do you already do this? Kind of. You're like, I'll go to this opera, but you can...
I feel like I have a lot of things that I should be getting. I have gone to 11 Garth Brooks shows.
I was about to say, Garth Brooks in the opera.
Yeah.
That is a big spread.
Ballet. Wow. I've done a lot of that. Ooh, yeah.
What's wrong with that? That's fine.
It's fine. I'm here to say...
Let me tell you what's great about opera.
Yeah. Let me explain why opera is so great.
No, okay, that's cool. Yeah, you know, you can get some bargaining in there.
But sure, but maybe...
Quickly, my thoughts.
Because I think a lot of guys maybe are thinking, like, I want to go out on, like, a 40-mile ride, and I want my partner to go with me. And maybe that partner doesn't want to go on a 40-mile ride, but maybe that partner does want to go, like, to the Rhododendron Garden, which is 4 minutes away or something.
Maybe be cool with
my coworker had this happen, where he just assumed that someone wanted to go on a 40-mile ride, and... There was the whole 20 miles back home were silent. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
That's real life. That sucks.
Yeah. Here's another thing that we were talking about recently was about tandem bicycles and how if you have a cisgendered couple on a tandem bicycle, it's always the dude on the front and always the lady on the back. And most tandem bicycles are built to be highly adjustable because everyone's different size and shape and that sort of thing. So I was wondering, for anybody out there who either has a tandem or knows someone who has a tandem, hang on, let me get my this is our call to action this week. But no, it's like if you have a call to action, if you have a tandem. I can't do two things at once.
If you have a tandem call to action.
That's right. And we do.
And a call to bicycles.
Do you have a call in tandem to this?
And an action.
Tandem action to call.
Tandem.
So here it is. If you know someone who has a tandem, or you have a tandem, maybe let's put the opposite person on the front of usual.
Or maybe you do this already.
Maybe you do. Tell us about it. If you don't, try it.
Maybe you're confused by this and you're like, it's always this way for me.
It's easy. Stoker becomes a captain. Captain becomes a stoker. Person in back goes to the front. Front goes to the back. It's like a fire drill, except it's on a bike, and it's you, and it's a thing. It's a thing you can do. So I'm very curious. Anyways, why wouldn't this happen? You tell me.
Height difference?
Go. I'm afraid of tandems.
Oh, like not
and
right.
And then there's practical reality.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I don't like steering.
Well, and that's the thing. Some people maybe would love to be steering and aren't, and some people don't like to steer and are just fine with it. So that's my thoughts on tandems.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone seen tandem bicycles are worse than going to IKEA? The short film.
Oh. Might have to watch that after this.
Link that one up in the show notes. I want to see that.
Find this, yeah. Well, very good. So in that case, do we have time for headlines?
Yes. It is currently 8:30.
Okay. Do we have headlines?
I put in a few, but none of them are pressing. We can
save them for next week?
We can save them for
next week. Okay, sounds good. We do have... We don't have headlines, but you know we do have...
You're welcome.
Yes, we do. First up is a tweet from Alex S. He says, I less than three the show. That's an emoji for heart.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
Or double scoop ice cream. I've heard you talk about cargo bikes many times. Curious which ones you guys like the best without e-assist.
None of them.
I will only have an e-assist cargo bike.
Just kidding.
I think I've only rode an e-assist cargo bike.
And I will say that I only have experience with a limited number of cargo bikes. I have ridden a Bullet, and I like that one, and it's comfy. But I don't really know a whole lot about the varieties. I think with or without e-assist, I think cargo bikes are neat, but I have not ridden enough of them to know.
In the argument between the Urban Aero versus the Dews, I would say the Dews is a lot more nimble.
Okay.
Again, I had them both with e-assist.
Right.
So that might change things.
We're not qualified to answer this question.
Yeah. I'm curious why no e-assist, why the questioner was interested in a non-e-assist one.
Right. And Alex doesn't clarify, but perhaps Alex is asking about these
things
are expensive.
It might be unnecessary.
It might be.
Yeah.
Can't afford an e-assist.
Price.
Could afford a cargo bike.
Price.
Yeah.
It adds.
That Bosch mixer isn't going to pay for itself.
Oh, my goodness. Such a nice mixer.
Yeah. Any of you have any experience with cargo bikes that you'd like to share?
Cargo Bikes with Hannah.
Yes.
It's a new spinoff show.
Well, the Xtracycle Edgerunner is a long tail. It's not a front-loading cargo bike, but it has the 20-inch rear wheel, which gives a lower center of gravity on the back. So for like kiddos on top or stuff on the sides, as far as those bikes go,
good balance.
It's easy to ride. Mm. The Yuba Mundo is a long tail, 2 26-inch wheels. Cheap.
Yeah.
It's you get a lot of bang for your buck.
So don't discount the cargo behind.
Yeah. The Dews is French and awesome, and it is actually coupled, so you can split
for
transport,
right.
Which is one of the coolest things.
That's a good feature.
Yes. Yeah. And it has cable steering, which is part of why it is so nimble.
Okay.
If you like a sportier ride, the Dews is like kind of killing it. Right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good thing to look into. Well, it's a good thing we had somebody who knows about cargo bikes here.
Thank God. As opposed to us going, I don't know.
But let me tell you a thing or two about cargo bikes.
Yeah.
Next up, Brian H. starts campaigning for, well, one of us anyways.
Yeah, I guess.
He says, did us for president.
With a Z.
Yes, president.
It might be a new new position.
Maybe.
But this is a Facebook
comma,
review.
Comma, 50.
50.
I think he means 2050.
Maybe.
I don't think that's an election year, though.
That doesn't matter. Vote then. No, we've been getting a couple Facebook reviews. You can do that. So if people want to do that, that's cool. We don't campaign hard for reviews because I think worrying about your rankings is dumb. If people like your show, they like your show. And you like our show, and we like you.
That's not to say if you leave a review, like, we think any less of
you.
We
won't be pissed.
Actually, we'll probably think more of you.
We'll be very excited to read that, yeah.
I will admit to my vanity, but don't feel compelled to write nice things about us just to write nice things about us either.
That's
right.
I want
you to write one-star reviews, everyone. Just go.
Speaking of one-star reviews, one-star reviews
Speaking
of national parks.
National parks.
Yes. Fantastic. Yes. This desert was too hot. Yeah.
It's
I didn't like the taco bar.
This petrified forest had and no trees at all.
Edward Abbey was full of shit.
Yep. Exactly. So
National Park System is 100.
Happy birthday, National Park Service.
Yeah.
America's greatest idea.
Maybe for their 100th anniversary, we should all like read their one-star reviews.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I think it's, as we record this, it is today or yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think it's
I'll be
like close in time right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there a Johnny K. National Monument?
There should be.
Because he is a national treasure.
He is a GD national treasure. Jacksonville, Florida. I'm
sure
Florida
could use another national park.
Absolutely.
Does it have one? Are the Everglades?
Yeah.
Johnny K should tell us.
Does Disney World count?
No. No. There's a Dry Tortugas National Monument, which is one of the most remote ones. There's, of course, the Everglades National Park.
Okay.
You've got, some Ponce de Leon stuff going on. I think you've got the Gulf Islands National Seashore.
Whoa, Florida has so much.
Can you tell I'm just like straight up national park nerd?
Love Florida.
Dude, you know those?
You carry the card.
I got that, but I also got the passport. But I've got the pro level one that's actually like big. And you know all those nerds that are in the gift shops getting stamps?
Yeah.
That's me.
Nice.
Can we celebrate national monuments though? Because they're not technically national.
No. Any of the ones that are run by the Park Service are in that. Including all the brand new ones. I mean, I think there's a new one that just got announced. The president just announced something in Maine, I understand.
Ooh, nice.
Really? A new national monument. And many people are saying that that's very likely to be the last one on the East Coast because, frankly, there's just not a lot of space.
There's nothing else there.
And
nothing else worth it.
It.
Yeah. Oh, no. Stonewall, of course. Stonewall National Historic Monument in New York City. That was recently put up as well. So
okay.
A lot of good stuff going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But not Mount St. Helens. That's the Forest Service.
That is by the Forest Service. Yes.
Department of Agriculture.
Correct.
But it's pretty.
Correct.
Next up, J.R. Roloff sends us pictures of his Travoy trailer.
Oh, yes. He's one of our trucker friends, and he fits that Travoy into a little compartment on the side of his
truck. It took me a minute to figure out what exactly that was. Here, I'm going to blow this up.
That's super cool.
Here.
Yeah, that was very cool. I was happy to see that.
So it's this perfect fit, and it's sitting in there, and I was like, where is that thing? But then I saw right above, professionally operated J.R. Roloff. That's great.
He is a professional.
By the way.
That's right. By the way, J.R.
That's his semi-truck?
Is he related to the Roloff Hub people?
We kept asking him that. Yeah, he said no, but we don't believe him.
How many Roloffs could there be?
And I know, right?
Maybe it's a cousin, like a distant cousin.
Seriously. So the one question that I had was, J.R., best way to communicate with you is the podcast. When are you going to come on? Because we were going to have him on, but then his truck broke down. So he was professional about it, but we need to have him back sometime. So we'll figure it out. Anyways.
Next up is, I'm going to go out of order again. Timo chimes in about Tour de Brew.
Oh, yes.
Which is coming up.
That's right. We like Timo and we like Tour de Brew.
And we like Tour de Brew. He says, heard about this on the Sprocket podcast, episode 312, if you must know, and every episode after that, and got very excited. Though I won't be able to go, leading a ride for work, if you must know.
And we must.
You might be able to. If you prefer riding and drinking to riding and drinking water, check out this ride. It's a benefit for Bikes for Humanity, PDX, an awesome group to be sure. Take your B vitamins and drink some water. Then put this on your calendar. September 17th, Saturday, 9 a.m., Ex Novo Brewing.
That's right.
All of these things happen after I leave town.
I'm sorry. You have to come back.
I will.
Yeah.
Well, not for that, but like I will.
Yeah. All right.
And lastly, if I play this, will it won't go through, will it?
Turn this up. Yeah, you okay. Do it.
All right. So my brother Dan left us a voicemail.
Oh, this shall be
I haven't heard it at all, actually.
Oh, I cannot wait.
But yeah, anyways, I'll just play it. Anna's like pulling her headphones away from her ears in preparation. What the hell? That's it?
That's it. Straight to the podcast voicemail.
Was that
voicemail.
A 5-star or 1-star?
I think it was both.
I'm going to have to say I'm slightly underwhelmed by that.
I'm a little
underwhelmed. No, aka, aka, aka.
Yeah.
All right, ready to close this thing out?
Let's do this.
All right.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Text to 503-847-9774 or call.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Did I lose a thing? Hertbert for our headline sounder.
We switched things up. Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors.
Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shuttlefoot.
Katharina Melengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson.
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Cameron Lane, Richard Brzezinski, Tim Mooney's right here.
Woo! Origin Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller.
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner.
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster.
Caleb Jenkinson, J.P. Culey, Peanut Butter Jar Matt.
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe.
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder.
Anna Krista, John Wasserman.
There's Anna. Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, King of Division.
Josh Sisson, Richard G., Guthrie Straw.
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby, Campsite.
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse,
he's
David.
A prize winner.
Oh, yeah, we still got to get your prize to you. And Catherine Minchin.
I haven't seen him on my commute yet. Nathan Poulton, Chris Ross, and Rory Close.
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen.
Now brush your teeth.
And go to bed.